The Dory Monson Show on Cairo Radio. This is The Big Lead.
Coming to you from Curtis Subaru Studio. Welcome to our top stories this hour. I know a lot of people are frustrated because we can't respond to every text. We can't respond to even 5% of the texts, but I read every one of them. And I know a lot of people, you're good, faithful texters. I do. I read it. I take it into account. And here's proof of it, because about an hour ago, I got a text message from one of our listeners. I forwarded it to Nicole. I said, would you check with Bellevue Police to see if you can confirm this? She did. It's confirmed. We got the texter on the line. Let's get right to The Big Lead.
The Big Lead, Dory Monson Show exclusive.
And let me welcome, joining us live is Cameron Steele, who texted in to us last hour. Hey, Cameron, it's good to talk to you, sir.
Hey, Dory. Yeah, okay. Really good to talk with you. A big fan. Thank you.
I appreciate that. Thanks for listening. Okay, so what you told me in just a few simple lines of text, and let me preface by saying, did you hear the story that I mentioned yesterday, and then I had audio at the beginning of the show from the guy whose dog was kicked down in Pioneer Square and killed?
I did, and that's what prompted me to actually text you because of that story. It was just heartbreaking. Yeah,
just exactly. The audio, I'll play it later. I played it at 2:30 if people missed it. But the audio from this guy just tore me apart. So I'm particularly sensitive to animal stories. So walk me through this from the start. So you were driving in Bellevue yesterday. Whereabouts?
Right. So my wife and I were driving eastbound on Northeast 8th, approaching 116th, which we wanted to turn right on. And so we were right at the corner of Northeast 8th and 116th. And on the other side of the road, on a crosswalk, now there was a red light, so we stopped. Sure. But the light was about to turn green, so it was no big deal. But across the street on Northeast 8th, there was two adult geese and their four kids. I would equate it to maybe four toddlers, or maybe 10-year-olds, or maybe 7-year-olds walking with their parents. Okay,
just little goslings.
Little ones. They weren't the smallest kind, but they were mid-sized. Still a family. And there was a pedestrian that was kind of walking behind them to help them cross. And they were at the crosswalk, and everybody was stopped. The light had turned green, but they were still in the crosswalk, so everybody was waiting for them to go across. The pedestrian that was walking them across, it was very cute. I mean, it was just a very cute thing to see them actually using the crosswalk.
Let me make sure I've got a good mental image of this. So at all four corners of this, and that's a very busy intersection that you're talking about.
It is.
But on all four roads that lead into the intersection, 116th and 8th, cars are stopped, so nobody's going through at all. Is that right?
Nobody's going through the green lights. Nobody's going through the red lights, of course, but they're just waiting and watching these four geese cross at the actual crosswalk between the lines.
Yeah.
And so we're looking at these. My wife and I are commenting, oh, isn't that cute? I said, well, they're Canadian geese. I'm Canadian, so of course they're going to use the crosswalk. We kind of joked about it. It was a very light moment.
Okay.
And then all of a sudden, this white car on the far left lane heading eastbound on Northeast 8th just barreled through the green light, and he wasn't doing a speed limit. He was speeding. And he barreled right through all four geese on the crosswalk.
And if he sees that every car is stopped in every lane, do you think he saw the geese as he was running them down?
We debated on that a little bit because we don't know if it's a male or female driver. So I said, well, the driver is either texting or talking or doing something stupid and not paying attention, approaching the intersection and just going. But the geese were there in his lane. I mean, there was no way that driver could not see these geese.
Yeah.
I mean, he was also speeding. So it was just like, oh my God, what just happened? I mean, these four geese were just, it was just unbelievable. It was so heartbreaking. And he didn't even stop.
And you said there was mama, daddy, and four babies. So it was the four babies that got run over?
You know, Dory, I don't know for sure if it was the four babies or if it was one of the adults and two other babies. I don't know exactly how many, because we were at the intersection ready to turn right on 116th. So I kept turning and watching and looking to see what was happening. But then a bunch of people rushed out, I think, and started helping the ducks. And when we came back, we circled around. I said, we got to circle around and come back, because if there's a mess, I want to stop traffic and clean this up. And anyways, we got back to that corner about 10 minutes later, and all the traffic, I guess people got out and must have cleaned it all up because the geese were gone.
Oh, that's right. Question we asked the Bellevue police, let's take the speeding part out of it, because there aren't any radar guns, but there are cameras at many of these intersections. Yeah. So, you couldn't prove if the person was speeding. But if it was a green light, I don't even know if the person broke any laws.
You know, that's the thing. I mean, it was definitely a green light, but the fact that, the driver just plowed through them without even giving it a thought, it looks like. I mean, it just seems so... It was heartbreaking, because the fact is that these geese were, and the fact that there's a pedestrian on the road with the geese trying to help the geese get across, and everybody was still stopped. Even on the westbound lanes that the geese were approaching, they had a green light, but they were all stopped waiting for the geese to come through.
Yeah, and that's all very sweet, because everybody's in such a hurry and everybody's so impatient all the time.
Yeah.
And just to hear that for one moment, everybody just chilled out and was going to let them cross the road. So you were hopeful that Bellevue police would check the traffic cam and see if they can get a plate?
I would have thought that, I called the police and I said, maybe you can check the traffic cams, because, somebody's got to be accountable for doing something stupid like this. With all the stuff that's happening in our world today, that was just the greatest moment. And then all of a sudden, boom, the greatest moment turned into a sadness,
Yeah, that does make me sad. That's too bad. And, although I will say, geese probably... more than any animal, make an incredible transformation from unbelievably cute as babies to pretty homely adults. the only other animal that I think has a similar transformation are pigs. Piglets are adorable. Pigs are hideous.
I guess that the thing is that even adult geese, in my humble opinion, They're handsome creatures, so I would say that.
Yeah.
And the smaller kids, like goslings. I mean, I don't know if you would call them goslings or not, because they were much bigger than, but they were smaller than adults.
There was just a family
of them, walking across the street. It was just so.
I just thought of one other creature that made an amazing transformation too. I was a pretty cute kid. And I'm hideous now. I'm right up there with geese and pigs.
I'm right up with you there, Dory.
Brother. Okay, well, Cameron, thanks for texting in. Thanks for letting me know. And what did the police say? Are they going to check the cams? Or they're too busy for this, aren't they?
I don't know. They didn't say if they're going to check the cams. They asked me if I wanted to hear back from somebody. And I said, well, only if you have some kind of closure on this thing, it'd be fine. Yeah. I would love to know what happened, but
I don't think they're going to check the cams. They got bigger things to do.
There's bigger fish to fry in Bellevue than a couple of ducks, but still, it's still heartbreaking. And, I just would tell drivers, look, if you see a gus or a duck or a goose on the road, just let them go. I mean, you're not going to, taking a life like that is just pointless.
There you go. All right. Kevin, thanks for calling. I appreciate it, bud.
Yeah.
Appreciate
you listening. Keep up the great work, Dory. Appreciate you. Thank you,
sir. All right. It's listener Cameron. We saw some geese mowed down yesterday in Bellevue. Should they check the cams? Is it worth the time of the cops to check the cams on this? Oh, the geese on the golf course, when you hit your ball kind of close to them, that sound they make. I always got my pitching wedge ready in case he attacks. I got a scar. I've told the story. I'm not going to tell it again right now. But I have a scar that I've carried around for more than 50 years, or 54 years, when a goose took a piece out of my shin. Nasty little thing. But I like him now. All right, up next in the Big Lead.
The Big Lead, top story.
Well, we've talked a lot about in the schools, there's critical race theory poisoning our children. It is designed to make people look at their classmates not as individuals, not by the content of their character, but grouping people merely by skin color. And if you're Caucasian, you're evil, you're an oppressor, you're a bully. If you're a person of color, you're a victim, you're the oppressed. And it is a sick, evil poison in our schools. And that's why so many states have gotten rid of critical race theory. Now, Washington does not. But this is what's happening now in government. And, you know, it's really interesting because when Trump was president, everybody said, oh, he's so divisive. Joe Biden is a million times more divisive a president. Trump got everybody working, had the lowest African-American unemployment, lowest Hispanic unemployment, lowest women unemployment before COVID. And people were taking care of their own lives, and we had individuality. And now it's this poisonous, everybody's divided by race. And when Biden gave a speech on the 100th anniversary of the Tulsa race massacre, I could not believe what I was hearing, because this is somebody who wants to once again conjure up as much racial divide and hatred as possible. This is kind of a long clip, but nobody else is playing this in context. I want you to hear what the president of the United States is telling people now.
Remember what you saw in Charlottesville 4 years ago on television? Neo-Nazis, white supremacists, the KKK, coming out of those fields at night, Virginia, with lighted torches, the veins bulging on their as they were screaming. Remember, just close your eyes and picture what it was. Well, Mother Fletcher said when she saw the insurrection at the Capitol on January the 9th, it broke her heart. A mob of violent white extremists, thugs, said reminded her of what happened here in Greenwood 100 years ago. Look around at the various hate crimes against Asian Americans and Jewish Americans. Hate that never goes away. Hate only hides. Jesse, I think I mentioned this to you. I thought after you guys...
I got to jump in for a second. But to compare this to the Tulsa massacre, which was a horrible, hideous, racist bit of our history. But for him to say that January 6th was comparable to that is insanity. And like I said, I mean, 176 people were killed in Tulsa. Buildings were burned down, hundreds of buildings, black-owned businesses in the minority part of Tulsa. And it was awful. But to say that January 6th was comparable, he's saying it because he wants to create as much racial division and hatred as possible. And, you know, for everything that he could say about Charlottesville, you could say about Antifa, you could say about the burning of cities and the rioting that took place across America in the last year, where, you know, Marxist organizations like BLM were involved. Antifa was involved. At least 25 people died in the rioting of 2020. That doesn't get mentioned because it doesn't feed the narrative. It doesn't further divide, which is what our president wants to do now, and which is what the radical left want to do. That's what's happening. That's why they're getting this garbage into our schools. They want to divide, because the more you divide, the easier to conquer.
Pushed through with Dr. King, the Voting Rights Act and the Civil Rights Act, I thought we were moved. What I didn't realize, I thought we had made enormous progress. And I was so proud to be a little part of it. But you know what, Rev? I didn't realize hate's never defeated. It only hides. It hides. And given a little bit of oxygen, just a little bit of oxygen by his leaders, it comes out of there from under the rock like it was happening again, as if it never went away. And so, folks, we can't. We must not give hate a safe harbor. As I said in my address to the joint session of Congress, according to the intelligence community, terrorism from white supremacy is the most lethal threat to the homeland today. Not ISIS, not Al-Qaeda, white supremacists.
It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. Not China, not North Korea, not Iran, not nations that have sworn to crush us, to destroy us, not organizations that killed 3,000 Americans almost 20 years ago. No, no, no. It's white supremacists. And when he said, I thought we were making progress with the Civil Rights Act, I guess he found out we've made no progress in America from when we had water fountains for coloreds and for whites only, when there were hotels and restaurants that wouldn't serve black people in America. And for him to suggest we've made no progress since then, this is, I'm sorry, for the people who say, oh, Trump's so divisive. This is about as divisive and hateful that I have ever heard an American president be. And then, you know, Kamala Harris on the campaign trail, Kamala Harris said that Joe Biden was the most racist candidate running for the Democratic nomination. Kamala Harris said that about Joe Biden because he hung out with KKK members and uses his accents to make fun of people of color and all of that. Here's more from him. How racist is this?
The data shows young black entrepreneurs are just as capable of succeeding given the chance as white entrepreneurs are. But they don't have lawyers. They don't have they don't have accountants, but they have great ideas. Does anyone doubt this whole nation would be better off from the investments those people make? And I promise you, that's why I set up this National Small Business Administration that's much broader, because they're going to get those loans.
So black people don't know how to find lawyers or accountants? What does that even mean? Other than Joe Biden, the bigotry of soft expectations, Joe Biden doesn't think it's kind of like when he said poor kids are just as capable as white kids. You know, he just reveals of himself. But he doesn't think black people or people of color, Hispanics, can find lawyers and accountants, apparently. And check out those TV commercials.
I challenge you, find today, when you turn on the stations, sit on one station for 2 hours, and I don't know how many commercials you'll see, lay 8 to 5. 2 to 3 out of 5 have mixed race couples in them. That's not by accident. They're selling soap, man. Not a joke. Remember old Pat Goodell used to say, you want to know what's happening in American culture? Watch advertising. Because they want to sell what they have. We have hope.
What does that even mean? 2 or 3 out of 5 have mixed race couples. They're selling soap, man. What does that mean? It made no points, but I don't think the synapses are connecting with old Joe. But whoever's feeding him lines on his teleprompter, it's proving to be unbelievably racist, and it's a shame because we're now seeing what this whole movement's about. You know, that's why people have been marching in the streets in Seattle and Portland for more than a year now. It's to divide people. Now, we've seen that. You know, we know that. We've proven that. It's to be as divisive as possible. Tear us down. Rebuild in their image. That is your big lead this hour.
The Big Lead on Cairo Radio.
Okay, the thing I was talking to my goose guy about, let me just call him. Oh, his name was Cameron. I was going to call him Goose Gossage. A most heartbreaking story that I've heard in a long, long time. Told to you at the beginning of the hour, or beginning of the show at noon. If you didn't hear it, stick around. We need to be moved to action on this because we got some really bad people presiding as judges. And once again, I will out this judge next on the Dory Monson Show. Well, a story that we've been covering for a couple of days now, because, as I've told you, I am trying to keep track of the many horrible, horrible, despicable judges that we have in our region. And I told you yesterday about this guy down in Pioneer Square whose homeless guy tried to rob him. And the guy who was, you know, the victim, he lives in a low-income hotel right next to Pioneer Square himself. And the guy who tried to rob him then got pepper sprayed by the victim. And then the 29-year-old man came back and kicked the dog that the victim was walking, a Jack Russell Terrier. The kick was so hard and with such fury that the 14-year-old JRT, named Alice, actually flew through the air, landed on her head, and died at the scene. So we knew all of that yesterday when we told you the story. But Q13 got an exclusive interview with the victim. And I will tell you, it just tore me up. His name's John Hickey, as I said. He's 67 years old. He has nothing. He lives in a low-income hotel. He doesn't have any family, he says. He doesn't have any money. And he had one reason to get out of bed in the mornings, he says. And that's because of Alice, his Jack Russell Terrier. She was his friend, his only friend. And he told Q13, someone give credit. This was really well done. I think it was Olivia LaVoice who was the reporter on this. Yeah, it was. She did a nice job. So John Hickey, in this exclusive Q13 interview, told them and us how Alice was his best friend.
She would cuddle up and wrap her arms around my neck. She's all I have, and I'm not complaining that that was all I had. I mean, she was all I needed.
That's a beautiful line. She was all I had, and I'm not complaining that she was all I had, because she was all I needed. It's really beautiful and sums up the relationship that we have with our dogs or with our pets in general. And so, again, he talked about how this guy just came up and threatened him out of nowhere.
And then he started telling me he was going to knock my head off if I didn't give him the jacket.
So the 29-year-old, Courtney Williams, he came up to John, who's 67, wanted his jacket. John said no. The 29-year-old got even more threatening. Well, John, as somebody who is living down in the Pioneer Square area, he carries pepper spray because he knows how violent the streets are there. And when the guy said that he was going to knock his head off, John pepper sprayed him in the face and looked like the 29-year-old guy was going to run away. But no, he turned, ran at high speed toward John, and kicked Alice.
I heard pounding of feet, and I turned around, and he was running full speed at us. And I didn't have time to really do anything. I mean, I had her on the leash, and in running towards her, he knocked me down. And he kicked her so hard that she went up in the air and fell down on her head and started hemorrhaging.
And then he described Alice's final moments.
She thought everybody liked her, and she was just proud of that. And the most horrible thing, when she died, she gave me a look just... was like she was so confused that anyone would do something like that to her.
And that one got me so, because before we had Buddy, our dog now, we had Star, who was just the greatest dog and greatest part of our family. When our girls were young and all at home, oh, man, Star was the best. And I've never talked about it because even though it's been about 6 years, I don't even know if I can talk about it today. But we had the vet. She had a kidney disease that I think came from bad dog snacks that were made in China. And I didn't know about that connection, the E. coli, until after she was gone. But we wanted her to be at home. So she, oh, man, she loved laying in front of the fireplace. And so we had the fireplace, and I'm holding her. And the vets came, and, you know, they give the lethal dose when they put him to sleep. And you feel a little tension in the living dog, and then just all of that disappears. And so I remembered that. See, I start crying about a six-year-old incident. But I was thinking about that. This guy's holding Alice. And I hit, you know, with Star. I have a wife. I have three kids that I love. I have a job that I love. I've got activities that I'm passionate about. This guy's got nothing but Alice. And I was thinking about just that feeling when, you know, life slips away. And this guy had to deal with it. And he's injured. He's in a wheelchair. But that is not his greatest pain.
She was all my family. She was. I mean, she got me through days when I literally don't think I had gotten up in the morning, except I knew she needed me, and she knew that I needed her.
Now, to their credit, police found the guy right away because the guy's been just a criminal troublemaker in Pioneer Square for a long, long time, this Courtney Williams. So they found him that same evening, which was Sunday. And then, to their credit, the King County Prosecutor's Office got him into court for an arraignment on Monday, on Memorial Day, which was surprising. And the King County Prosecutor's Office said, look, this guy's violent. He's got a long criminal history. He just did a horrific thing. And they asked for $25,000 bail. And for a street person, they're probably going to have to stay behind bars until the trial because they don't have the money, and they probably don't have somebody to bail them out. And that's where Judge Marcus Naylor comes in. King County District Court Judge. The prosecutor's office did the right thing. Asked for $25,000 bail. And Judge Marcus Naylor said, now we're just going to let the guy go on personal recognizance. No bail. No bail. Courtney Williams is back out on the streets. A guy who was able to commit such a hideous act just a couple of days ago because of Judge Marcus Naylor, N-A-Y-L-O-R. If you want to reach out, I've had a bunch of listeners say that they can't find any personal email to get hold of him. You can only get hold of the presiding judge. But this is a guy who is a defense attorney. He is very proud in his bio of 100 felony jury trials ranging from DUI to homicide. It's a guy whose whole life has been about trying to get, certainly defense attorneys get some innocent people free, but they also work feverishly to try to keep some guilty people free. And that's his life. And he was a presiding, supervising attorney for the public defenders. So, of course, he has a strong bent for the criminals. And, of course, he lets somebody who's capable of killing a dog walk free with no bail, personal recognizance. Judge Marcus Naylor, M-A-R-C-U-S, and the last name is Naylor, N-A-Y-L-O-R. What a disgrace. What an absolute disgrace. Quick time out. They'll count down our favorite sound bites of the day as the Dory Monson Show continues. And down the stretch we come. What a day, what a show, what a show, what a day. Well, speaking of horse racing, Bob Baffert, who won the Kentucky Derby with Medina Spirit, the horse failed a second drug test. And so Bob Baffert has just been banned for 2 years by Churchill Downs. So one of the most successful Triple Crown trainers isn't going to be able to run in the next two Kentucky Derbies. Or his horses won't be allowed to. He was already prohibited from running because he's over 3 years old. All right, with that as mere prelude, let's get to our favorite sound bites of the day.
This is Dory Monson's awesome audio clips of the day.
All right, I was playing a bunch of really odd, disturbing, infuriating Joe Biden sound bites. There is another one. I played for you yesterday, the really creepy, because there's that long compilation video of him touching little girls inappropriately, about a 20-minute video on YouTube, sniffing their hair, and everybody was reminded of that when he talked about a little girl who looked to be about 6 or 7 years old on stage with him a couple of days ago.
And I want to thank you for all that you do to represent these service veterans, because they're devoted to you. It's the family members, the caregivers, survivors who call Virginia home. I'm especially honored to share the stage with Brittany and Jordan and Nathan and Margaret Catherine. I love those barrettes in her hair, man. I tell you what, I look at her. She looks like she's 19 years old sitting there with her, like a little lady in her legs crossed.
I love those barrettes in her hair, man. She looks like she's 19. The way she crosses those legs. It's creepy. But he's not all there. So then, after he gets all this criticism, he's doing another speech yesterday. And there are two little girls who look about the same age, 5 or 6. And he runs off the stage, and you can't hear what he says, but he's talking to them. And then he comes back up on stage behind the microphone.
I just had to make sure the two girls got ice cream when this is over. Imagine how excited you'd be when you're 4, 5, almost 5 years old, coming to hear a president speak. My Lord, in my faith, we call that purgatory.
But if you stick around, little girls, I'll give you some ice cream. All right, 7-year-old boy who's quite the hero. He was out with his father and a sibling. And the sibling's four years old, his sister, and his dad. And they were swept at least a mile away in the tide off of Jacksonville. The current separated this kid from his father and four-year-old sister. And this kid had to swim. He didn't have a life jacket on. He had to swim for 1 hour to get to shore, to tell people what had happened to his father and sister, and they were rescued. And here's 7-year-old Chase explaining how they got into trouble.
The current was so strong that my sister, she usually hangs out at the back of the boat, and she let go. So I let go of the boat, and I grabbed her, and then I was stuck.
So he saves his sister, and the dad, before they got too separated, was able to yell out to the kid to swim to shore, and it took him an hour to do so.
I told them both I loved them because I wasn't sure what was going to happen. And I tried to stick with her as long as I could, and both of them, really. I wore myself out, and she drifted away from me.
And swimming for an hour, a 7-year-old kid can get pretty tired.
Were you getting tired swimming?
Oh, yes. That's why I did that. That's why I floated on my back.
He floated on his back, and there's lots of gratitude.
We're here. By the grace of God, we're here.
All right, and finally, in our awesome audio, on Memorial Day, campus reform. Went to college campus in Washington, D.C., and they learned a lot from the students about Memorial Day.
You know, we're talking about Memorial Day. Is this a holiday that you support? Is this something that you're going to be celebrating?
I'm not celebrating. I don't think Memorial Day should be a thing that we celebrate personally.
Okay, why not?
I feel like it's a celebration of U.S. imperialism and colonialism.
What a great product of public schools and higher education. I'm sure not everybody's that crazy.
I didn't really think of in this way until I got to college, and like I took women's and gender studies classes, and that put me on this path where I'm like, yeah, like, the U.S. kind of like I was always into social justice, but I didn't have the language for that. And then it kind of gave me that language and made me realize how everything is connected. And like for me, like I was on this like spirituality type journey where I was like, oh, we're all one or whatever. And like what I was learning in social justice, like, was the material analysis I needed to practice what I feel like exists on a spiritual plane in real everyday life.
Very cool. Would you be down to like completely abolish the military?
Yes, please.
I think I'm going to have to do a count the likes on that soundbite tomorrow. Okay, I got to get out of here. Tom and Curly Show's coming up next. God bless you in these crazy times. Thanks for being with us this afternoon. I love you. I'll see you back here tomorrow. High noon. Later.
And that's Wednesday.
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. You're really a fantastic audience.